you to turn in your Bibles to, I think it's 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 2. We're going to read the first five verses for our lesson today. And by way of introduction, I just, you know, for the most part, Christians in America have become pretty soft. I think if we're honest, we're all a little softer. You know, we're not as militant as we used to be. And there's a difference between, you know, working under a dictator and a militaristic church. Legalism overrides. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But we used to be, there should be some militance in our focus, our desire, and our diligence. And, you know, the idea of handing out tracts, it shouldn't be, well, if it happens, you know. How about on purpose? How about looking for somebody and on purpose, hand him a tract, ask him to read it, talk with him, begin some discussion, you know? You know, we have the most important message there is in the whole universe. And people don't get it, they go to hell. And so we need to be the soldiers for Christ we're called to be. And that's all over in the Word of God. We're going to look at some of those verses. And we need to be gung-ho again, you know, for the cause of Christ. It's been said you can't get Billy Sunday results with Episcopalian actions. You know? I mean, get with it. Be excited about it. About telling people about Jesus. Ever ready. And the truth is, the Christian life is a battle. We're called to be soldiers. And I think we get this picture here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So God never expected you and I to have strength in ourselves. It's not of you and me to be that soldier for Christ. You haven't got it, and neither do I, but it's available in the power of Christ. Verse 2, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So there is a passing on of the truths of the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God. It doesn't stay with me. Well, I got it and thank you. No, I'm just a conduit and you're just a conduit. And if you're not sharing it, you're in the wrong. You got a broken pipe. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness. So he has warned us that there's going to be hard things. There's going to be battles. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, the Bible's very plain to you and I, there's that militaristic part of it. Being a soldier for Christ, serving not only out of duty, but of heart. That's the difference between a soldier for Christ and another soldier. Now, it's true that soldiers do have a love of patriotism for their nation, but far more for the Christian soldier, for his Savior. No man, verse 4, warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And I think this entanglement, these distractions of life, they have really made us what we are. They have softened us as a soldier. We've got this, we got that, we got so many irons in the fire. We're dabbling in everything and dabbling in our evangelism or our Christian walk. Yet we're called to be soldiers. Endure hardness. Verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully, according to the Word of God. There's a way to go. There's a way to do things. There's God's way, see? And there's the way that the human nature wants to go or that the world wants to go. It has to be a determination to go God's way. And this is certainly through the Word of God. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll run several verses here. And you know, we talked for a couple of Thursday nights on, you know, this aspect of this phrase, I want to be like Mike, I want to be like Mike, and we change that to I want to be like David, and all the reasons in the Word of God, a man after God's own heart. Well, in these first scriptures we're going to look at, I want to be like Paul. Here's a soldier for Christ, amen? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 26. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's fighting, so fight I. That's a soldier. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's amazing you begin to run verses regarding this aspect of being a soldier for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice with me verses 3 and 4. Paul says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's an understanding that this battle is a spiritual battle. And we need weapons. Weapons of our warfare, he speaks of. And turn, if you would, to Ephesians 6. Here, the weapons of our warfare are presented to us. Verse 10, finally, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Okay, where's your strength? Where's all you need to pull out a track, open up and talk with somebody about Jesus? It's in God. It's in the Lord. It's in Christ. Don't rely on yourself. You rely on self, you're not going to say a word. You know? You rely on self. You know what self wants to do? Self says, well, I'll wait for him to come over here and ask me, do you have a Bible track? Well, yes, I do. Well, here, brother. Here, friend. Yeah, that's the nature of man. But the God inside us that indwells us, he wants others to know. And we're to be good soldiers, you see. And so, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil, the subtlety of the devil. We'll talk about him. He's alive. He's real. And he hates you. He hates your family. He hates your church. See? And he's active. That's why we're called to be soldiers. Not sleeping. Active. Diligent. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not an arm-to-arm combat, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a high echelon, all the way up to Satan himself, you see. Like any army, there's a leader. And all those that are in charge over the masses, over the minions of demons. It's a big battle. It's a real thing going on. And we can so easily fall asleep, enjoying life. Oh, an occasional track, an occasional conversation. I'm glad our soldiers that fight for our nation and protect our freedoms are not nonchalant like that. We're called to be soldiers for Christ. And he's provided us with the armor. Principalities against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 13. Wherefore, based upon this truth, say, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. That verse tells me there's evil days. There's some hard days. There's some tough days. Some real days that test your Christianity. And we want to stand. God wants us to stand. Verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's the book. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Fiery darts. You know, you ever played darts? Would you stand in front of the board? I don't care how good the shot is. I'm not standing in front of the board. And here's the picture he's given us. Fiery darts. The devil means business, you know, and of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of truth. Then he talks about prayer, because you need prayer to back that all up. So it's a battle. Your Christian life is a battle. We need to be reminded of that. And quit ye like men. You know, stand up. Be heard. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy 6. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. Enjoy being a Christian. I love Jesus. I love the things of God. And I love God's people. And I love the people that are not God's people that God wants to reach. God put that love in our hearts for the unsaved. Jesus looked on the multitude and had compassion, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6, notice verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul's speaking to young Timothy. He's telling this young man, this young preacher boy, it's a battle. And it's required of you, Timothy, to fight. Stand up and fight. The Christian is never called to be a pacifist. If we find ourselves electing to do that, living that way, we're not the soldiers we're supposed to be. That's of the flesh. That's the influence of the devil. You do a lot. Hey, you're there every Sunday, for goodness sakes. Chill out, man. Sunday night, you over and above. You go midweek service too? Hey, you don't need to hand it tracks to anybody. You're a solid, strong Christian. Yeah. The devil will tell you anything your carnal nature wants to hear to make us pacifists, to not care about the eternal souls of men. Paul says, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Well, I trust that we have a good profession. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Still, running verses regarding this idea of being a soldier in the battle of Christianity, a battle for Christ, for souls. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we know this is where Paul's closing, and beginning at verse 6. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time my departure is at hand. You know, for many of us, that's true. Could be for any of us. I don't care how young you are. The time of your departure could be at hand. Right? But I guess what I'm thinking is, the older we get, you're not supposed to become softer, stronger. Men and women of wisdom, still in the fight, still being examples and encouraging the younger, that it is a battle. And we serve our commander, Christ, the King. And we want to be good soldiers. That's what Paul's speaking to Timothy about, and Titus, be good soldiers. And here he's about to depart. He knows this. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. A fight. He just said, I've lived a good pacifist Christian life. You know, he fought a good fight. How many people were affected by the Apostle Paul? Which begs the question, how many people are affected by you and me? See, good soldiers. We can affect more. We can reach more. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Again, this idea of fighting. Now, go all the way back to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And here's a great phrase regarding our God. Exodus 15. Notice what verse 3 says. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. He's the captain. He's the commandant, you see. There is good and evil. There is God and the devil. At opposite ends of the spectrum. And ultimately, that's the battle going on. And contrary to some's opinion, we're not just merely pawns. We matter. Every single one of us matters to God. He loves us as his children. But he doesn't coddle us. You know, we protect our little people. They can't protect themselves. We're called to protect them. But as they grow, we build them up. We prepare them for life. The hardships of life, the battles of life, you see. And we expect when they're mature, we have the expectation they can fight now. We don't have to coddle them anymore. And God help us not to feel like we got to be coddled. We're all his soldiers. Soldiers for Christ. Amen. Psalm 144. Our God is a man of war. In Psalm 144, just a reminder this morning that as much as we can enjoy and love the Christian life, and it's all good, and praise God, every day is a gift from God. Amen. The next breath I breathe is a gift from God, and I'm his forever in this life and the next, but I have a job to do in this life, and you do too. We're called to toughen up, be soldiers, and get something done before he takes us home. Psalm 144, verse 1. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Now, he's not talking about going around slapping people, right? It's a picture. It's figurative that we're in a battle, and through the word of God, I'm empowered, strengthened, guided, directed to mature and to be a soldier for Christ. See? So we need to be more like Paul. Why? Because we truly have an enemy. John 10. Here in verse 10 presents two very opposite personalities. But notice this first one. This speaks of Satan himself, of the devil. John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to." So here's his purposes. Here's his plan. To steal. That's your life. Rob you of your life and eternal life. He'll do everything he can to keep people from getting saved. And to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. That's why it's a war. Because he's alive and kicking. See? Jesus said, "I am come, by contrast, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Life. The Christian life is to be an abundant life. And I'm not talking about, you know, prosperity as abundance. This is the world's perspective of the word abundance. Is it got this, got that, got all these things. They're not sinful. If you got that stuff, praise the Lord. You got a big boat, give me a ride. Take me fishing. They're not wrong. They're not sinful. Unless you allow them to become sin in your life. See? No, I'm talking about the abundant life, having a joy and peace. There's people forever blowing their brains out. And a lot of them are in the Hollywood area. Get all the money and fame in the world. All the things they thought that they wanted. Then they take their lives. No abundant life there. It may be viewed by many as, boy, they had life in abundance. Yeah, it was shortened because it wasn't as abundant as one may think. The abundant Christian life is the one that you and I can have and should have. Every one of us. Saved, born again, going to heaven. Hallelujah. Dean, you going to heaven? What? Okay, I'll see you there. We're going there. Because you're a good guy? No. Why? Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus in your heart. Amen. That's why Dean's going. And not one of you and I have a different story than that. It's because of Jesus. What he did on the cross at Calvary. We owe him everything. And he has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. And some of those plans are the same for all of us. And some are different for all of us. All more specific. Specific callings. And that's why he gave you specific talents, specific personality, intellect. Some personalities are very vibrant, others more reserved. There are reasons for that. God made you for whom you're going to reach, for the effect and impact you're going to have as a soldier for Christ. The loudmouths don't matter more to God than the quiet person. They don't. God has created us all specifically and on purpose to fit His plans and purposes. And understanding how valuable you are and you're everything God made you to be, and then drowning yourself in the Word of God, building yourself up for the good fight, so that we come to the end of life, we can say, I fought a good fight. How wonderful will that be? And not that song that says, I'll wish I had done more. I have to imagine that we're all sense like at the end that I wish I had done more. Moments later, you see his face, right? You say, I wish I'd done more. But now's the time. And it's a battle. The Bible tells us that. Paul tells us. It tells Timothy. Be a good soldier. Be willing to fight. Be a man. The devil cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's his agenda regarding you and your family and the church. He wants to destroy churches. You know, the devil loves nothing more than to split churches. Split churches. And we've enjoyed great unity here, and I'm so thankful. Of course, that relies on maturity because we're all different. We all have, you know, issues once in a while, but maturity overrides that stuff. Thank God for the unity we have, the fellowship we share. It's wonderful. Not all churches have that. There's going to be great divisions and divides, and no one that ever sat on this seat would ever cross to the other side. You know, people look at each other, you know. What kind of a church is that, you know? Devil's got a lot of victory there, you know. Hey, listen, the military, soldiers fight together, protecting one another, you know. You put all the things in between aside. In a foxhole, you're all friends. You're all fighting the same fight. And we're all in the same Christian foxhole. Helping one another, encouraging one another. And every once in a while, some gets down, some gets injured. And I'm not talking about physically, though that can happen too. But we're to help the wounded. Encourage them. Because the battle continues. Get them back up. Because the time will come when you might be wounded. And when you are, how wonderful it is to be strengthened and encouraged by fellow soldiers in Christ. This devil, what a character. Go to Job 1. Job being a man, a great man, a good man. He hated evil. What a wonderful testimony he has. A testimony so much that God could brag on him. And good soldier. Amen. And verse 8, Job 1:8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? You know what? You and I are supposed to be that person that hates evil, that loves God, that fears God, that lives for him, you know? That God could brag on you. I'm not saying that he might bring the devil on you. But the devil, he rebuffed God. Notice verse 9, that Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? I mean, is it like there's no reason? You coddled him. You made him wealthy. You gave 10 children for joy and delight. It's a devil before God. Ten, hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance and increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Satan's pretty gaudy. Thumb in his nose, God. There's a reason why this man is the way he is. Challenging God. And he's accuser of the brethren. Amen. Go to Revelation 12. In Revelation 12, it actually gives him that title. So what does that, I mean, certainly we saw in Job that he accused Job that he wasn't all that God was making him out to be, that it was all because God protected him and blessed him and all that. But Revelation chapter 12, notice with me verses 9 to 10, and the great dragon was cast out. Amen. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, the deceiver, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Well, amen. And I heard a loud voice saying in the heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Day and night. So he comes, look, this is Jeff. Look, God, look, Jeff. See, he did this. Yeah. Then he said, Dickie Bridges. See, look at Dickie Bridges. Page 2, page 3. Don't laugh too hard. I'll call your name. We'll have a lot more pages. We'll have a scroll. Imagine that. You know, don't you hate that person that rats you out? He's a rat. I'm not saying it was, you know, there should be a cover up when you do wrong. That's what I'm saying. It just seems like, oh, did you hear? Did you know? You know, gossipers, fueling the fire. You know, that's what the devil is. He hates you and he's going to bring you the worst of light before God. He's an accuser of the brethren. It's a battle. It's a real battle. We need to be serious and sober, still enjoying the abundant life, but so much the more enjoying the abundant life because you're in the fight. Soldiers for Christ. He rebuffs God, accuses the brethren. He's organized. Well, we saw that in Ephesians chapter 6, 12, the echelon. He's organized. He's got it going on. He's got a mighty army. He's got a mighty army following after him. But like any army, there's a cause. We have a cause. We're to win souls and live for Christ. That's our cause. I like the phrase in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the story of young David. In spite of his three oldest soldier brothers with their knees smoting one against the other, afraid of Goliath, he takes Goliath down. Well, this is an amazing thing. But notice, he shows up and he just can't believe what he's seeing. And he voices a few things, and his big brother, Eliab, comes up and says, you naughty fella, you think you're something. You want to be with the big boys, you know. Why don't you go back and tend to your few little sheep there, you little shepherd boy. Nice brother. Anyhow, verse 20, beginning of verse 20, so we get the gist of what's going on here. Oh, that's way too much. We're going to read too much. We're going to read that much. Let's go all the way down to 28. And Eliab, 1 Samuel 17, 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. What do you suppose was behind that? His embarrassment, his pride had been shaken, you know. My little kid brother showing me up, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep? That's just rubbing the nose in it. In the wilderness, I know thy pride. How about your pride, Eliab, and the naughtiness of thine heart? For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You want to see where we're at, what's going on. You can go back and brag to people. I saw it. That's what Eliab's portraying. David didn't rebuff him. David didn't say, you know, put your lips together in another way. He said this, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You don't make a good soldier when he has a cause. A good soldier does whatever he's told. He responds to orders immediately. He doesn't question. But he's a far greater fighter when he has a cause. The Ukrainian military fighting against the Russian military. You know, It's kind of lopsided, but they have a cause. They're fighting for their land and for their countrymen, like our founders did. And we enjoy America today. Is there not a cause? I'm glad somebody, you know, brought Christ to me. Glad that I'm saved. Somebody saw a cause and I've motivated with love. There is a cause. There's a great cause. And sometimes it seems overwhelming. I'm sure to these. Now, it's 500 days yesterday. 500 days of war, I heard, of Ukraine. I'm sure these Ukrainian soldiers, outside of their love and devotion for their nation and their families and whatnot, you know, could be troubled, fearful. It's been said, you know, there isn't a soldier that doesn't have some fear in him. But here's an acknowledgement for the Christian. Go to 1 John 4. God will never ask you to do more than he has equipped you and prepared you for. In most all cases, when it comes to witnessing and getting people saved, it's usually one-on-one, one-on-one. God doesn't expect you to, you know, come to some big grandstand ballpark somewhere and preach to 10, 20,000 people. Be a little overwhelming. But whether he does or not, 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's a reference to the devil. I'm no match for the devil. He's too witty. He's too smart. And while he doesn't know what my thoughts are, he has observed my life all my years, and he has noted where I'm weakest. And these are the areas he's going to come at me with. And you know what? Left to myself, I will be defeated in this area or that area. But the Bible tells us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So regardless of what the devil throws at you in your life, to where at times you may feel, I don't know, I can't handle it. You can. Victory is yours. Victory is to be had. Why? Because greater is he that is in you, the born-again believer, than he that is in the world. I like that. Amen? Well, let's see. Let me run through a few scriptures here, a few thoughts regarding being a soldier. Sometimes soldiers are drafted. Used to be, anyways. And for the Christian, 2 Timothy 2:4, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Acts 9:15, he is a chosen vessel. John 15:16, I have chosen you and ordained. Let me tell you something. You're chosen of God to be a soldier. Soldiers take an oath of allegiance. You know, you take that vow. I remember when my brother, we brought him down. We lived in Auburn, brought him down to the post office federal building there opposite Daring Oaks. Brought him down one morning, and he with all the other guys, he was joining the Marine Corps. He was going to make his oath, and he did his oath there. Then they put him on a plane. We didn't see him for a year or so. You took an oath. And Joshua 15:13, I like these verses. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Stand up. Stand up, make a claim who you are. 1 Kings 18:21. How long halt ye between two opinions? Get off the fence. Are you a soldier for Christ or nay? Pacifist? Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Declare where you stand. Be a Christian. Don't be mamsy-pamsy. Share Jesus with opportunity, with a smile, with delight, with strength. Sometimes soldiers are drafted. Certainly the Christian is a chosen vessel. Soldiers take an oath of allegiance. We're to take a stand, live for Christ, be public about it. Soldiers must adhere to some code of conduct. Remember the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice? For the Christian, it's the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Amen? There's acronyms for that. basic instruction before leaving Earth, the B-I-B-L-E. Basic instruction for believers living on Earth. Amen? We're leaving, but not yet. We're called to be soldiers. We're to read it, know it, obey it, that we might, according to 2 Timothy 3:17, be truly furnished, totally furnished. Amen? Soldiers are separated, sent to boot camp to be hardened, their heads are shaved, clothes of the world are shed. They're made prepared to fight and not to be entangled with all these other things that they had, these reminiscent things of their lives before. 2 Timothy 2:4 speaks of the affairs of this life, not to be entangled. Be separate from this world to be a good soldier. Too many entanglements, you're going to be a weak soldier for Christ. You'll be one of the soldiers that says, well, I'll witness if it's convenient, if everything falls into place. You know, it's like rolling dice. There's the number, you know. All the other times you don't witness? That's not what it's like. 2 Timothy 2:3, endure hardness. Christian's boot camp, this is local church. Labor now. Serve Jesus. Love people. Love the brethren. Love your families. Harden up. Be a leader. Be an example. Serve as you have opportunity. Soldiers are dispatched with orders. Go ye in all the world. Amen. We got the marching orders in the book. Matthew 28:19-20. Because the time will come. Romans 14:10. We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll see if you're a good soldier. If you have fought the good fight of faith. We all want to hear what Matthew 25:21, several verses in Matthew 25. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's harden up. Don't be a soft Christian. Get prepared in the book and on your knees. Get in the fight. Father in heaven, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for our book of our code to follow, to be encouraged and strengthened by. We're told you have given us the greatest of motivation, love, motivation to love. You loved us. May we be hardened up, Father. May we seek out the opportunities to talk with people about Jesus. May we be the soldiers you want us to be. Bless our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.